Jesus, thank you that you call us friends. Thank you that you want to be our friend. And as we think about this whole theme of friendship and what it means to be friends with one another, and as we particularly look at the scriptures, please speak to us this morning. Speak deeply into our minds and into our hearts. And please help me preach well. In Jesus' name. It would be really, really helpful for me this morning if you could take your pew Bible and turn to that passage in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. You'll see the page number on your announcement sheet on the top right-hand corner of the first page. And we're going to be looking at this passage together. And it would be great for me if you could follow with me. We're in this little journey, set journey through 1 Thessalonians, Paul's letter, first letter to the church in Thessalonica. We're calling it the unstoppable story, the story of Jesus, which is not simply words, not just simply a description of historical events, his birth, his life, his death, his resurrection, but it's a story that has the power to actually take hold of our lives and begin to rewrite them. And not only can this story rewrite our lives as individuals, but actually it can rewrite families, friendships, marriages. It can rewrite the stories of villages, towns, even our workplaces. So as we come to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, we're into this section of 2 verse 7, all the way through to the end of chapter 3. What we're actually going to find is that Paul gives up an entire chapter. He gives up one-fifth of this letter to describe how he feels about this community. Paul's giving up more than a chapter of his letter to describe to these Thessalonian Christians how he feels about them. Paul is describing the depths of his friendship with them, his deep emotional connection to them, how important and what a priority these people are to him personally. And what I hope we're going to see in this passage this morning is that the story of Jesus, the gospel, not only sends us deep into the heart of God, and not only does the gospel send us deep into a broken community, but actually the gospel sends us deep into one another. The gospel sends us into deep friendship with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And he described this type of friendship as spiritual friendship. So that's what the title of my talk this morning is. It's going deep into one another, spiritual friendship. And I think this passage is going to teach us three things. That friendship is so much more than we can imagine. That friendship recognizes the reality of weakness and doesn't walk away. And friendship leads to deep and profound. So here's the first thought, that friendship is so much more than we can imagine. Little question just to get you thinking, maybe something that you can take away with you. What is your vision of friendship? What's your vision for your friendship? I remember being asked that very same question when I was preparing to be married to Yvonne. We were attending a marriage preparation course. And one of the questions that we were asked was, what's the vision for your marriage? I have to say, it stumped me. I wasn't ready for that. And maybe you're not ready for that question with regard to your friendships. What is your vision for your friendships? It's a brilliant question. What do you want your friendships to look like? What do you want them to be? What core values do you want to share with your friends? I don't know about you, but I can never remember being taught to be a friend. I didn't attend a seminar. I don't remember anything at school about this. I don't remember my mom and dad sitting me down and saying, Clive, we need to have a conversation with you. We're going to talk about friendship. It was sort of assumed that I would naturally be a good friend. And so I was sent out into the street to pray or to play and make friends. I was sent out into the playground at school to make friends. Assuming that I could do it. And certainly I think there is something intuitive about friendship. It's something that we are naturally, we find ourselves doing, it's sort of written into our DNA. But it is something about which we also must be conscious. There's an Australian thinker based in Sydney called Ben Myers, and he wrote recently about his concern that our culture, Western culture, culture that we share, that we're forgetting what it means to be someone's friend. I don't know whether you agree with that or not. And he points out a number of reasons why he fears that we're forgetting this art of friendship. Here's the first idea. He talks about the myth of sex. The myth of sex. That we have this suspicion in our culture that when two people get close, that sex somewhere or other is at the heart of that relationship. That he says that within our culture there's a sexual suspicion that sort of overshadows all close friendships. He talks about the myth of marriage and family, where within Western culture there's this sense of, I will only feel complete if I have a lifelong partner. That the only way that I will really be whole is if I have kids. The friendship's okay, but once I get married, then I'll truly have arrived. The myth of marriage and family. The myth of work. He says that within a Western culture, we think of life very much in practical terms, in utilitarian terms. And because of that, there is no because there's no obvious benefit, no obvious profit of having a friend, that we tend to put it second, a relationship second to work. And then there's the myth of freedom. He talks about the myth of freedom, that the weaker my ties are to you, the more freedom that I will have to choose what I want to do. Because if I am deeply committed to do that to you, that's going to limit my choices. Myth of sex, myth of marriage and family, myth of work, myth of freedom. But in contrast to that comes our passage today that celebrates friendship. I want you to listen for a moment to Paul speaking about these people, his friends in Thessalonica. Verse 17. But brothers and sisters, when we were orphaned by being separated from you for a short time, it's a very powerful image, isn't it? Orphaned. That's how Paul feels. Out of our intense longing, we made every effort to see you. Verse 19, for what is our hope, what is our joy, what is our crying, which will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus when he comes? Is it not you? The gospel sends us deeper into God. The gospel also sends us deeper into one another. And you can sense this with Paul's intense feelings. And this deep emotional connection between himself and these other Christians. True friendship, genuine friendship, spiritual friendship, involves, ought to involve, intense feelings. Sometimes we mistake of thinking that, yes, I'll experience intense feelings whenever I'm dating or whether I'm in marriage, or I'll feel intense emotion whenever, you know, I for my kids. But here's Paul modeling friendship with intense emotion. The gospel doesn't just send us deep into God. The gospel sends us deep into one another. Paul is embodying, describing here genuine, true, God-shaped friendship. Friendship that involves feelings of love and longing and concern. That will grow in hands and feet and will become practical, and Paul willing to pay a cost for this friendship and to commit himself deeply to it. So friendship is more than we can ever imagine. The gospel takes us deep into God, but it takes us deep into one another. That's the first thing. So here's the second thing, that spiritual friendship recognizes weakness in other people, but doesn't look away. Have a look at chapter 3, verse 1 to 6. And this may not be quite obvious here, but it will begin to make sense. Verse 1, so when we could stand it no longer, we thought it best to be left by ourselves in Athens. We sent Timothy, who is our brother and co-worker in God's service, in spreading the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you in your faith so that no one would be unsettled by these trials. For you know quite well that we are destined for them. In fact, when we were with you, we kept telling you that we would be persecuted, and it turned out that way, as you well know. For this reason, when I sat no longer, I sent to find out about your faith. I was afraid that in some way a tempter had tempted you, and that our labors might have been in vain. Paul gives up one of his closest friends, Timothy, and he sends them back to the city of Thessalonica, 500 miles from Athens, because Paul is afraid. Paul is concerned that the pressure of persecution has broken the Christians in Thessalonica. Paul was aware that this external pressure could ultimately finish the church there and undermine his friends. And so Paul sends Timothy to come alongside these Christians who are being persecuted to do more, strengthen them and to encourage them. Friendship acknowledges the reality that in every friend run fissures of weakness. Now, this morning we may not be willing to share with one another what those weaknesses are. And I hope I'm not making you feel uncomfortable, but I am convinced that just as there are fissures of weakness within me, just as I am vulnerable, put in the right circumstances, but that's true of you as well. And maybe you've had that experience where you're getting to know somebody and then something happens, they express an opinion or they do something or there's a particular behavior and you go, oh, not quite sure I like that. And at that moment you have a choice. You either walk away or you put a bit of distance between yourself and that person. Or you stick with it. I had a really interesting experience about 3 months ago. I've shared with you on many occasions about the individual in my life who I would describe as my best friend, my brother-in-law, John. And John was overseeing therapy, and John and I went to a restaurant in Raleigh. We had probably one of the hardest conversations that we've ever had as friends, and we've known each other for years, where John pointed out something in me that he was concerned about. And I have to say, I was not happy. I was on the phone with him yesterday, and probably the conversation that we had yesterday reflected the fact that our friendship hasn't changed, despite the fact that he saw a weakness in me. I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for that. He could have walked away. Could have put a distance between himself and me. And yet, like Timothy, he came alongside. What do you do when you see something in your friends that makes you go, ugh? Gives you a yuck moment, or gives you an uncomfortable moment? How do you react? You see, the gospel sends us into friendships with eyes that are wide open. Because the gospel tells us, not only tells us that we are wonderfully loved, but it also tells us that a Savior had to come to die for us because we are deeply wounded. And whenever we go into friendships, we go into friendships with eyes wide open, knowing that just as there's brokenness in me, there's brokenness in me. And that's why friendship is an expression of the good news of Jesus. It's an expression of the gospel. Because friendship is an expression of grace. You stick with me despite what you see. Just as Jesus sticks with me despite what he sees. Friendship, spiritual friendship, recognizes the reality of weakness. Doesn't walk away. And thirdly and finally, friendship, spiritual friendship, is transformational. So have a look at verses 11 to 13 as we finish up quickly. This is Paul praying for his friends. Have a look at what he prays in verse 12. Do you see it there, verse 12? May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May your love overflow. What a beautiful prayer. That's a beautiful prayer. Beautiful to pray that for each other, isn't it? But look what he prays in verse 13. May he strengthen your hearts so that you will be what?
Blameless.
And holy. So Paul is not only praying that we would overflow with love for one another, but he's also praying for deep change. He's praying for deep change. That you will be blameless and holy. Earlier on I asked the question, what's your vision for friendship? And I hope that you've seen that so far. The biblical vision for friendship is that genuine friendship goes deep and genuine friendship goes long. 6 foot. That it involves deep feelings and it involves deep commitment. But Paul's not finished because he's one more thing to say. He wants us to know that friendship is intended to be deeply transformational. I want to go off on a tiny tangent here, but please don't worry, it's a 30-second tangent. If we were to sort of look through this entire passage together again, one thing that stands out for us is that as the passage goes on, Paul begins to drop in little references to the second coming of Jesus. He begins to drop in little references of the day that Jesus is coming back. And he sets friendship against this background of Jesus coming back. You see it there in verse 13, particularly, may he strengthen your heart so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of God our Father. And you see what the next phrase is? When our Lord Jesus comes with all his holiness. Paul is talking about the second coming. And so he sets friendship against this big picture. Jesus is coming back. And here's Paul's message. Jesus is coming back. And I want you, my friends, to stand before Jesus, blameless and holy. Paul's love for these Thessalonians is so great that he wants them to be able to stand before Jesus, blameless and holy. To stand before Jesus without shame. And if you like, the second coming is informing Paul's friendship, Paul's vision of friendship. You see, this is going to sound very harsh, but that's what I am. And friendship is so much more than friendship. Friendship is so much more than friendship. You see, friendship has a purpose. Friendship has a purpose, and that purpose, or a big part of that purpose, is that I would become more and more like Jesus. And that night, 3 months ago, in the restaurant in the Pomodoro, as my brother-in-law and I sat in beer and eating nuts, what he was doing was helping me become more like Jesus. Friendship has an eternal purpose. friendship in part is there to help me and to help you be ready for Christ's return. So here's a little grenade. Let me just drop this into the room. Am I the sort of friend that wants to see my friends stand before Jesus blameless? Is that the sort of friend that I am? So let's finish up. What's your vision for friendship? If you were to take a post-it note and write it down and stick it on your fridge this week, what would it be? Well, let me suggest that the biblical model of friendship is that the gospel sent us deep. Deep, deep, deep friendship. Not superficial, but deep friendship. The gospel sent us long. Deep commitment. I'm sticking with you. I'm staying with you. And the gospel of friendship, a ship of the gospel, prepares us to meet our greatest friend, Jesus, and to stand before him holy and blameless. As you look at that vision, how might we want to respond to that?